The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Amen. Thank you, Jerry. Church family, take your Bible, copy of God's Word, and let's study it together. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is going to be our beginning text this morning. I encourage you to turn there. Let me give you a couple of the passages of Scripture that we'll be studying together this morning as well as we study this passage, Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians 10. So three passages I would ask you to be prepared for: 1 Thessalonians 5, Ephesians 5, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I rejoice and so grateful for what God is doing here and changing people's lives. Praise God for your testimony, Adam, and what God has done in you and what He has done in your family and many others that are here. We're so grateful. And maybe even as you have heard His testimony this morning, if God has stirred in you, even for the very things that you heard God do in Him, do not wait to the invitation moment to give you any kind of invitation. The invitation with Jesus is always open. And so if you need Him, call out to Him right now. And according to the very text that Adam read in that testimony, you confess with your mouth that Jesus was Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And if that's what you need, then call out to Him right now. Turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. And I've said before, it's personal, it's never private. And if you choose to do that, Jesus calls us to follow Him publicly. So you need to let us know that you choose to do that. Maybe some of you are here and you say, man, I need to do that. I have followed Jesus, but I haven't yet made that public through baptism. Just as John Jameson illustrated and described, the water doesn't save you, but it's a picture that you're unashamed to the world that you follow Jesus. It pictures that you were His and you no longer belong to the world. If that's something you need to do and God's been working in you, then follow through and being obedient and choose to do that so we can rejoice together with you. We still have several more people to come who are going to do that. We pray that God will continue to bring a harvest of doing that and changing lives. Well, today, yes, this past week was Thanksgiving, and I want to give you a message to you of giving thanks in all circumstances as we have passed a week of Thanksgiving where most people are mindful to give thanks. You know, you gather with your family. Some of you may have tradition where you sit around the table and you may ask, what are you thankful for? But if not that, then you probably just kind of are more in that mindset. I've seen people do through the month of November. Sometimes on social media, they'll talk about the numbers of days, the things that they're thankful for. So they're leading up to Thanksgiving. They're talking about what they're thankful for. But I believe that what the Scripture teaches us is certainly we have time to set aside, and there's historical reasons for us in the U.S. to do that. But scripturally, biblically, God has called us to give thanks at all times and all things. What I want to challenge us with this morning is from God's Word is this very truth. What we see in Scripture, how we can do that beyond just this week of Thanksgiving. So I want to challenge us to see how can we do that? How is it possible to do that when sometimes things are just plain hard? Before we jump in that passage of Scripture this morning, I want to share with you where we're going to be going through the month of December. Month of December, I usually do something that's related to Christmas and Advent season as it leads up to Christ. And so through the month of December, just time away and praying through what I want to share with you, just want to kind of whet your appetite so you can be prepared for December. I'm going to talk to us and teach to us about the songs of Christmas, meaning I want to take some of the traditional Christmas songs that you have sung and that we have sung and use them from the Scriptures and to depict the story of Christmas. For example, next week, we will look at the song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. That song depicts a longing for the Messiah to come. And we'll look at how the Scriptures teach from Genesis all the way up to the time of Jesus that this longing for the one to come. The Sunday after that, then we'll be looking at the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, of how we'll see the fulfillment finally came to be. We'll look at the prophecy that actually predicted that Bethlehem was going to be the place where Jesus was born. Following week after that, December 17th, we'll look at, O Come All You Faithful, this invitation that is given for those who want to come to Jesus. That invitation is there. Christmas Eve morning, December 24th, we'll sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we'll see how there was celebration by the angels and how there's true celebration that continues, even in glory for what Christ has done. And then that evening, Christmas Eve night, then we will look at We Three Kings and we'll talk about the presentation, the gifts that have been given. And all those things I'm going to relate to you, to me. Do we have that longing for the King? Do we also have that fulfillment in our own lives that Christ has come to us? The invitation has been offered to us to be able to come to Him. And there's a celebration that happens even when one person comes to know Jesus. The angels rejoice in heaven. Then the presentation is giving of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and how all that depicts and are our lives gifts to the King. That's where we're going through Christmas, and I pray that you'll be ready to come and receive the Word of God. Today, we're back here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, giving thanks in all circumstances. This verse is very brief, but it's very potent in what it has to say to us and the challenge that it gives to us, if we're just completely honest, in this past week, even though it was the week of Thanksgiving. How many of you had some moments or some things that was hard to give thanks for those things? Maybe some arguments, maybe some difficulty, maybe some stressful things. You're like, man, I got to be thankful and even in those things. What does the Word tell us according to the Scripture? And let's look at this verse and let's unpack this verse so we can see how it challenges our lives. And so as we dive into this, you may be thinking beyond this past week, and I ask the question to you, I'll make it easy. Are there things you can be thankful for? Okay, that's the easy answer. Are there things that's hard to be thankful for? We are louder on the second question. It is true, there are some things in our lives that are just hard to give thanks for. But I want us to look at what the Scripture teaches us as believers, because I want you to understand that as believers, we should look and act different than the world, even when it comes to the way by which we give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's read it again since it's so brief. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." First thing that I want us to see very clearly here in this passage of Scripture is that giving thanks in all circumstances is the will of God. If it's the will of God, then that means that's what He is charging us to be able to do. But understand the context that He is speaking to. Look back at verse 12 and notice the audience to whom Paul is addressing. Certainly it's the Thessalonican church, but notice he very clearly says, "We ask you," and what's the word there? "Brothers," meaning he's speaking to believers here. Now, certainly we as believers, as those who make commitments to Christ, Paul is telling us this is God's will for us. This is what He has called us to be able to do, the charge that He has given us. So we can't be flippant when it comes to giving the thanks in all things, because it is the will of God. Now, some people will say, well, I don't have to do those things. Well, you understand clearly when the Bible says it's the will of God for us to do it and we choose not to do it, we call that what? Sin. So if we see this passage of Scripture, and I asked you a question earlier, are there things that's hard to be thankful for? And if we say, I'm not going to be thankful for that, then we have to deal with this passage of Scripture. No matter how hard it is, it's the will of God for us to give thanks in all circumstances, because it is the will of God for us to be able to do that. Now, what's the opposite of giving thanks? The opposite of giving thanks is murmuring, complaining, blaming, critical, negative, pessimistic. Be honest with you, when you're around people that's constantly critical, murmuring, blaming, critical, negative, pessimistic, it's draining. My question is, are we those people? We should not be. Let me put an illustration on the screen for you the way that I think sometimes Christians have perspective of their life. You know who this is, do you not? Who is this? And some of you are moaning and complaining already. But I've been around people that this is how they perceive everything in their life. Been around some of those people. Don't raise your hand. Just no elbowing, no pointing. But I'm afraid that oftentimes this is the way some believers actually see their lives. But they always think no matter what it is, there's always like this rain cloud over them. And they just always constantly think that something is bad in their life. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't difficult things in our lives. But is this the right perspective to have? Now, you've seen Winnie the Pooh, and you've seen this story. If something good happens to Eeyore, it usually lasts how long? For a very brief moment, and then it's like, and he kind of has his typical kind of somber, sad response. Well, that's just the way it is. Challenge us, according to the Scripture of God, this is not the way we should be looking at our lives, because if it's the will of God for us to give thanks in all things, we need to be looking at, are we being obedient to those things? It's very easy, if we're honest, to slip into negativism. It's very easy. Why? Because that's of the flesh. And our spirit fights the flesh. So does God really care that we are thankful people, not just during the week of Thanksgiving? Does God really care that we do give praise to Him, or is it something that He doesn't care about at all? Certainly He does, because the Scripture says it's the what? It's the will of God. But secondly, I want you to understand, does God even care about people who do have murmuring and complaining? Let me give you a verse from the Old Testament, and then we're going to look at a New Testament. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, I'll put on the screen for you so you can see this. The Bible says, pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I what? Hate. God does not like the perverted speech that comes from out of our mouths, those things that we twist, we turn, and constantly complain and grumble. You realize that that actually, grumbling and complaining, actually depicted a large portion of why God had to bring judgment and discipline on the people of Israel when they were actually in the wilderness. They were a grumbling, complaining, ungrateful people, even when God was providing for their daily needs. They weren't satisfied. They always wanted something more when they had the manna and they were in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness because they actually complained. And then they're in the wilderness and God's providing and they complain. And finally, God has to bring some discipline at periods of time to judge them and to show them. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 10. I told you to have that passage ready. I want you to see in this passage of Scripture, Paul summarizes, rather than us actually looking at all the different Old Testament examples, I want you to see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, Paul kind of summarizes, encapsulates a lot of the behavior that happened and what God did in response to those things. Again, I'm showing these to you as an example to say what Paul teaches us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It is God's will for us, and I want you to see God does care about it. That was the question. Does God really care? He does, because we see a response to the grumbling and the complaining of His people, even in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10, we'll start in verse 1. Now, let's start there, verse 1. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers, and fathers, he's referring to the Old Testament, referring to His people of Israel and their history. That's what he means there. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud, in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank from the spiritual rock, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased. Now, that's a very daunting statement. Most of them, God was not pleased. Meaning that there were some that He was pleased with. You see that, correct? But most of them, the majority of them, were described by this. For most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. How were they overthrown? Verse 6. Now, these things took place as examples for us. So if it's example for us to learn, that means God wants us to not do these things. Now, these were examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual morality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. So these were written down for us. So if God is showing that He's going to bring judgment for their disobedience, their idolatry, their sexual morality, and their grumbling, why do we read all those verses? Because I want you to see that grumbling is put in the same category as sexual immorality and idolatry. So the question is, does God care about it? Yes. We like to categorize our sins and say, this isn't that big of a deal. I want you to see, God saw their grumbling on the same level as sexual immorality and idolatry. This is why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this is the will of God for us, to give thanks in all circumstances. Could the people of God have been grateful and thankful even though they were in the wilderness? Yeah, God gave them shoes that didn't wear out for 40 years. He gave them food to eat every day. But notice, in all of this, I want us to continue, and I want you to see verse 12 and 13. In regards to the complaining that's so prone to them and to us, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. What does that mean? Meaning, you'll say, well, that will never happen to me. Meaning, I'll never be a sexual immoral person, an idolater, or a grumbler, or a complainer. What does Paul say? Take heed lest he fall. Meaning, we're all prone to do those things. We need the help of God to walk with God, to live for God, and do the will of God. And so then notice what he says in verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man. God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, I use this passage of scripture a lot when I counsel people, when they're struggling with different things. This passage of scripture is so powerful because it says God's always going to provide a way of escape for us. And also when some people think, well, no one understands my situation. Paul says these things are common to man, meaning whatever you're struggling with, going through, that means that you're not isolated. That means somebody else has the very same thing or very same issue. And you say, where does this tie into giving thanks and grumbling and complaining? Because Paul puts it in context that one of the temptations was sexual idolatry for them, immorality for them, and grumbling. So being a complainer is a temptation that some of Satan's demons are right there to tempt us, that rather than being thankful, we're quick to be negative, pessimistic, critical, or complain and not be thankful. God promises a way of escape. I think it has become such a problem for some people that it's just second nature for them, that that's all that it's just the first thing that comes out of their mouth. Some of you in this room may be in that particular category, and it may be that you have to be able to think, Lord, help me to change the way I talk. And you heard people say, and you even heard Adam's testimony, and we've heard other people's testimony that when they got saved, things begin to change for them. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's in you and you hear this and God is even challenging you, it might be that this very moment you need to say, God, forgive me that I've not been seeing this. Help me not to be this way. It's the will of God that we are giving thanks. So let's look at the flip side then. That was the testament that we see in the Old Testament, the testimony of God's challenging them, the complaining that they were doing, and judgment. And again, Paul says this is for our witness and example for us. You know what the word says in Hebrews? Hebrews tells us that the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. Now, he disciplined them, and he'll do the same thing for us if we're continuing to live in a sinful way. But what happens if we flip it and we are known as thankful people, that we are grateful people, that people, even if things are difficult, that you know certain people that's that way, we have people here even in this body, that when things are hard and difficult, it seems like they always seem to have the great attitude about the perspective of what's going on. Turn to Philippians with me. Philippians 2. Actually, I'll put this one on the screen for you so you can be able to see this one. Paul tells us this. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Do all things without what? Grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now make some connections here. Paul says that we are to do all things without grumbling or questioning. Some translations say, or complaining, that you may be innocent, blameless, so you can shine as lights of the world. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5? You are the lights of the world. And so Paul is telling us here that we aren't to be complainers or negative people, but we're to be praiseworthy people so that we could be blameless people because we shine as lights in the world. I want you to illustrate, give you this kind of visual illustration. Imagine with me that you had a lamp or a flashlight, whichever one you want to picture in your own mind. And I want you to think about complaining and negative thoughts that come out. If you were to hold that flashlight or that lamp and you just put just a thin blanket over it, or a paper towel for that matter, it begins to dim the light little by little. And the more that we do that, that light will eventually become dim and not bright and even visible at all. That's kind of the picture that Paul is giving here. That we are to be the lights of the world, and if we're known as complainers and grumblers, we actually detract from the glory of God even with our words. I want you to think about that. I want you to picture this with this question. Do your lost friends and your lost family members even dread being around you because that your mouths are filled with negativism? That shouldn't be the case, right? We should be known as people who are lights of the world by the way we think, the way we talk, and giving thanks for all particular things, because even if things are going hard, that's how we should be known as, giving gospel praise to the Lord Almighty. I've said to you before, it's not when things are good is when our testimony is on display. It's when things are hard is where our testimony is actually on display. People see how things are. So certainly we understand it's the will of God for us. But I want you to see secondly in this passage of Scripture, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that giving thanks in all things and in all circumstances is a choice. It is a choice that we have to make. If you see this passage of Scripture very clearly, Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God. Give thanks. Now, this is actually in a list of 9 commands in this passage of Scripture. They're all in the present tense. They're imperatives, meaning they're commands given to us in the present tense, meaning it's something that Scripture is telling us to do and to continue to do these things. Now, if they're given by commands of Scripture, say, well, what's the big deal if it's a choice I want to make or not? Well, Jesus actually says in John 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So it's something he's called us to be able to do. James 4, verse 17 also says, he who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So understanding that giving thanks in all circumstances, it's a choice that we have to make. So we have to choose. We choose to give thanks. We choose to give praise. We choose to give God glory. We choose those things with our life on a daily basis. But clearly in this passage of Scripture, let me just show you these 9 commands that are here. They start there actually in verse 14. And I want you to just see all of these things that are given here. You'll see it right in verse 14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. That's the first one. Encourage the faint-hearted. That's the second one. Help the weak. That's the third one. Be patient with them all. Fourth one. See that no one repays any evil for evil. Fifth one. Seek to do good to anyone. Sixth one. Rejoice always. Seventh one. Pray without ceasing. The eighth one. And give thanks in all circumstances. That's the ninth one. 9 commands that Paul is giving, and he says, this is the will of God for you. Guess what? It's not just the will of God that you give thanks. It's the will of God that you admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them, seek that no one's evil for evil, return good for good, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks. God's given us these charges of what we're supposed to do. So sometimes giving thanks is actually an action of faith. Giving thanks is an action of faith, even when you don't feel like giving thanks. When we come and we sing in this room, we're giving thanks and praise to the Lord. And our thanks and praise, sometimes you've had a very difficult week. And you come in here and you sing, listen closely to me. Your relationship with the Lord is not simply based upon your emotion. It is based upon the truth and the character of God. So giving thanks, you're choosing to do this, not based upon whether things are good or bad. But you give thanks because you know that God is good. And you're giving thanks to Him in all things. You realize if we choose not to do this, some of you may be sitting and say, well, Pastor, I'm not convinced on this. It doesn't really matter. Well, I want you to see the verse that happens right after these verses. I want you to see what is said in verse 19. Do not quench who? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So I've given you 9 things, but we're just going to focus on giving thanks in all things. So if I'm choosing not to give thanks to the Lord Almighty, I'm quenching the Spirit of God within me. Now, when we get through the month of prayer and the Word, so we're going to do the series in Christmas, and then January is the month of prayer and the Word. If you're new to our church, we always take the month of January, talk about praying and the Word. But when we get to February, we're going to be launching into the series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to unpack and talk about who He is and what He does and how He can affect our lives. But I want you to understand that when we choose not to obey the commands of God, we're quenching the Spirit of God in our life. The Holy Spirit's primary role, according to John chapter 16, is to bring praise to God Almighty. So if we're not giving thanks, we're quenching the Spirit from giving praise to God Almighty. So rather than turning people's attention to God, we're turning attention to ourselves in those particular moments, and we're quenching the Spirit of God. So does it matter about giving thanks? Certainly it does. It's the will of God for us, and it's a choice for us. But let me give you the third thing here of this passage of Scripture. We are to give thanks, the will of God, in all circumstances. All circumstances. What circumstances? All of them. Meaning good and bad. Who likes to do that? None of us do. You mean what it means? So it means that when I get a good health report, I give. When I get a bad health report, I'm to give Thanks. So you say, well, okay, that's very difficult to do there, Pastor. How are we supposed to do that? What about persecution? What about loss of a job? What about a marriage that's struggling? What about parenting issues when your kids may be rebellious? What about issues at work and issues at home? I have to give thanks and all of those things. What can I just choose to give thanks when I want to? That's the way we operate. But that's not biblical. Giving thanks in all circumstances. Now, what that means, some of you are immediately thinking, well, Pastor, what about when things are evil and it happened to you? Am I to give thanks for those things? I want you to understand something. We're not giving thanks for the evil that happens to us. I want you to hear me clearly. Giving thanks in all circumstances doesn't necessarily mean that you're thankful for what has happened, but you're giving thanks in the circumstance. Meaning you're giving thanks even to the one who's in control of all things and who's in control of you in the midst of the circumstances. So, for example, if something evil has happened to you, I want you to reconcile these truths. The Bible tells us that we are to hate evil, not people, but hate the evil, the sin. We don't like sin, do we? No, we hate the evil, we hate sin. Let me give you a couple passages of Scripture to teach you this way holistically. Amos 5:15, hate evil and love good. And establish justice in the gate. Romans 12:9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. The reason why I'm giving these verses to you is because I know immediately our minds shift to the most extreme things. We're talking about giving thanks in all circumstances. I can imagine, you know, things are difficult. You know, things get hard and things are evil. And I've seen some evil things happen to difficult people. In those moments, you're not necessarily saying I'm giving thanks for that. But I'm giving thanks for God in the midst of all of those particular things. You say, well, how do I pray and how can I give thanks in all of those things? It's in those moments where you need to know the Word of God to hold to the character of God. For example, you can pray truths such as Psalm 96 verses 13 and 14 that says, God, even in the moments you promise that you'll be a God of justice and you'll bring evil to an end. You can pray Psalm 23. God, this is difficult and it's hard, but you promise, so I'm going to give thanks to you that you said you're going to walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death. There's ways that we can give thanks in the midst of those moments, because what the enemy wants us to do is immediately forget the truth of God and the presence of God in the midst of the difficult moments. So giving thanks in all circumstances is not, listen clearly, is not necessarily giving thanks of the evil that's happened to us, but giving thanks that God is going to be with us through the difficult things. It's a matter of us resting in the faithfulness of God and the character of God in those particular moments. Now, I don't mean to make light of anything difficult that you've had in your life, but you understand that murmuring and complaining is exactly where Satan wants us to be. So the question now is this. You've heard me lay out it's the will of God. You've heard me lay out that it's supposed to be for all circumstances. You've heard me to be able to say that clearly this is what God wants us to do. So how then can we do this? It is not possible in our own power to be able to give thanks in all circumstances. In our humanness, we cannot do it. But the Bible makes it very clear to us that the way by which we are to do this is only through one person. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit who is in our lives. So if we want to be able to give thanks in all circumstances, the promise is through the Holy Spirit to help us to do it. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. I want to show you this passage of Scripture and this truth of this Scripture. Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 20. Paul almost says a very similar words in the result of being filled with the Spirit of God, as he does there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when he talks about that we're giving thanks in all circumstances. And I want you to see, we're going to look at verses 20, and then we're going to back up and read it in context so you can see, how is it possible for us to give thanks in all circumstances? Because some of you are in the midst of some difficulty right now, and you're sitting there thinking, Pastor, how am I supposed to give thanks in this? And I want you to hear the promise of God and the faithfulness of God from this passage of Scripture. We're going to come back to this passage too when we get through the Holy Spirit series. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks, what? Always and for what? Everything to God the Father. So the thanks is directed to who? To God. So how is that possible? Go back to verse 18, and Paul tells us how this is possible. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with, or filled by, the who? The Spirit. Now, understand something. Paul is talking to believers. So we know they already have the Holy Spirit, because according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, that when you heard the truth, believed the truth of the gospel, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now, Paul tells us here in Ephesians 5 that we are to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let me just put it to you this way. How many of you yield to the Spirit all the time, 100%? Probably not many of us. We have to be able to say, Lord, help me, so fill me. If he's in me, I want him to fill me. So I pray often, daily, really. God, fill me with your Spirit. He's in me, so fill me. Fill my mind. Fill my actions. Fill my thoughts. Help me to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Fill me, God, so that I can have you, so that I can not rest in Byron's power. Fill me with the Spirit of God. I need you. The opposite is, fill me with my flesh. So when I'm saying fill with the Spirit, I'm wanting the Spirit to rule and to reign and be victorious over me. And if we're filled with the Spirit of God, there's some results that happen according to this passage of Scripture. What does he list out? Then in verse 19, you'll be addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, and giving thanks always and for everything. Do you notice all those end in the ing? Those are participles that flow out of, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, the result is you're going to be a singing, praising, thankful believer. It's hard to be singing, thankful, praising believer if all you're doing is complaining and murmuring and pessimistic and negativism. I question if you're being filled with the Spirit of God, if that's always your case. But if we're filled with the Spirit of God, then what's going to happen? So when you come on Sunday mornings, making melody, singing psalms to one another, and I praise God for the growth of our worship in our church and how people are singing and praising God Almighty. And it happens not just on Sunday morning. It happens with you spending time on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday, walking with the Lord, because being filled with the Spirit of God, certainly we're praying and inviting Him into our lives. But it comes by meeting with the Lord, because you know what? This right here is called, according to just one chapter over, in chapter 6, verse 17, this is called the sword of the Spirit. So I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not just me just sitting in quiet and meditation. No, I'm going to fill myself with the Word of God, which is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the Spirit of God. So He's going to admonish my life. He's going to encourage me. He's going to convict me. He's going to teach me. He's going to guide me. So I meet with the Lord every day because I need Him. Because I don't want to be a negative, pessimistic, critical person. I want to be filled with praiseworthy, admonished, praising the Lord God Almighty, and filled with thankfulness, even if things are hard. You say, well, what happens if I'm being filled with thanksgiving and then I might slip and be negative? If you're filled with the Spirit of God in those moments, then He's going to convict us and draw us back to do what He's called us to be able to do. So understand that we're giving thanks in all things, all circumstances, is done through the Spirit of God who is in our lives. Well, we see this passage of Scripture. We see Paul's telling us it's the will of God. He tells us what we're supposed to do. It's a choice that we have to make. It's something that we're supposed to do in all circumstances. And some of you are immediately beginning just to race and think, well, Pastor, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? Remember, it's maybe you're just needing to switch what you're giving thanks for. Start to think through and praise God that He is with you in the midst of whatever it is that you're clouding your mind to. Because the enemy wants you just to see the situation. I want you to see the God above the situation. And that He's in with you in the situation. And this is possible only by your spending time being filled with the Spirit of God. So I just question you in regards to your own life. You think through. You say, well, I don't have anything difficult right now. Well, when the difficulty comes, are you prepped and ready for the difficulty? We came out of a series on the end times and the signs of the times, and knowing that at some point persecution will rise, difficulties will take place, and the only way you're going to be able to make it through that is by the Spirit of God in your life. for Him to fill us, equip us, and empower us. We may be saying, well, Pastor, is there any examples that are here in the Scriptures of people who are giving thanks in all things? Well, none other than our own Savior and King Jesus Christ Himself give us plenty of examples of someone who gave thanks in all things. But look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to see clearly that Paul tells us that this example is in Christ. I'm going to show it in the text, and then I'm going to show you some examples of how giving thanks was patterned within Jesus' own life. You see it in the text here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in who? In Christ Jesus for you. It's the will of God in Christ for you. And there's two ways to be able to understand this passage of Scripture. I think they're both fitting. When the first one is say, if you're in Jesus, it's the will of God for you. Because if you're in Him and Christ lived this way, He acted this way, then it's the will of God for you. Because if Christ says, follow me, and we're supposed to exemplify His life, then that's what the way we're supposed to live as well. Second way we can see this passage of Scripture clearly is the will of God for giving thanks is the fact that it's exemplified in Christ and that we are to live that way if we are in Him. It's not just exemplified in Christ, but if we're in Him, it's something we are supposed to do as well. I want to show you five examples in the New Testament of Jesus' own ministry and in His praying where He always gave thanks of things. I'm going to put them on the screen for you. The first one is when Jesus had been teaching and some of the crowds, some people who understood it and some people didn't. And Jesus said, Father, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. He's giving thanks for God giving understanding to those whom He was teaching. The next one is when Jesus was feeding the 4,000 by seven loaves and a few small fish. It says, Jesus took the seven loaves and the fish and having given thanks, He broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Matthew chapter 26, as Jesus was sharing the Passover with the apostles, it says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And He took a cup and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. John chapter 6, before Jesus fed the 5,000, five loaves and two fish, it says Jesus took the loaves and when He had given thanks, He distributed it to them, those who were seated. And then in John 11:41, that amazing miracle when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me. When He said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, I have a question for you. Did you notice the pattern of when Jesus gave thanks in these things? The first one is the only one that Jesus gave thanks after the event. The other, Jesus gave thanks before the event. Father, I thank you. You're going to take these seven loaves and these few fish and you're going to feed these people. Father, I thank you. You're going to take this bread and this juice and symbolize that this is my life laying down for you. Jesus was giving thanks that He's about to lay His life down. Five loaves, two fish. Father, I thank you. You're going to take this sack lunch miracle and feed a bunch of people. Father, I thank you that you've heard me, that you're about to raise this man from the dead. Lazarus, get up. It was prior to the miracle taking place. Do you hear me? Our thanks is thanking Him, knowing He's got it. We're praising Him. Lord, I don't see a way out of this, but I'm thanking you that you're going to hold my hand and walk me through the valley. God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I've lost my job. But I'm going to thank you that you promised me that you take care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. So I thank you for this. God, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this health situation. I don't know how it's going to affect me. But I thank you that you promised you would always be with me. Lord, I thank you that even though it's hard in my marriage right now, thank you, you're going to help me, according to Ephesians 4, to let my words be seasoned with grace. Lord, I thank you that even though it's hard for me to have the wisdom to know what decisions I need to make, I thank you that the word tells me that he who walks with the wise will be wise. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Do you get it? Do you get it? May we be filled with thanks. When everybody else is around you is worried about what's happening around our world, and it's crazy. I get it. It's chaotic. Amen? But we can say, I'm thankful. This is my response. I'm thankful God's in control of it all. Giving thanks in all circumstances. And I think that might be where some of us need to actually start today. Some of you have walked in here with hard things in your life. Things seem out of control. And your pattern has been to complain rather than saying, God, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to start thanking you that you have it. Giving thanks in all circumstances, not to be made light of your difficulties, but trusting that God who's given us the Spirit of God is going to enable us to give thanks in all circumstances. I've given you a couple of acronyms before of ways to pray and to be thankful. Let me share those with you again very quickly. One of those is known as the ACTS prayer guide. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. This is just ways that you can begin to change the way you pray. Adoration. Simply beginning your life, your prayer life, say, Lord, I'm going to praise you for what's good in my life. I'm going to praise you for who you are. Confession. Lord, I've got these things in my life, and to confess them to you. And then thanksgiving. Lord, I just want to thank you for these things. It's amazing when you start listing out and praying God to what you're thankful for, the things that just begin to come to mind. And then supplication. You're beginning to intercede and pray for other people. But thankfulness should be something that should be a part of our lives, not just simply sitting down and saying, God, I thank you for this food. But don't take that lightly either. Be God thankful that God's given you food to eat. Let me give you another one. This is one of my favorite ones. This is the APTAP prayer I've taught you before. A, I admit I'm nothing. P, I pray for unction and the anointing. That's praying for the filling of the Spirit of God. T, I trust God. A, I'm going to act. T, I'm going to thank you. Let me show you how this works. This is a prayer that I pray. It's part of my life, part of my routine of what I do. Every time before I preach, I pray it in the morning at home. I pray it in my office. And then I pray it right before when whoever's praying for me, I'm praying this prayer. And then I'm going to show you how you use it in your own life. God, I admit that I am absolutely nothing. I am nothing without you. So I pray, God, in this moment while I'm preaching, I pray you fill me with the Spirit of God. And I trust that you can do what only you can do. You are the Holy Spirit. I'm just simply your messenger. And so, God, I'm going to trust you. So, God, today I'm praying the way I pray to God. I trust that you're going to help people who may be in murmurs to turn into be thankful people. God, I'm trusting that you're going to convict us to help us to see that we need to be thankful in all circumstances, even if they're hard. And then I get up and I act. I preach, not act like simply pretend something I'm not. But I'm going to do my job. And then when I get done, once I've had lunch, at some point during the day, I am saying, thank you, God. Thank you for your work. And how does that work in your own life? As a believer, you get up in the morning. God, I admit I am absolutely nothing. I need your help today when I go to work. I need your help today for me to teach school. I need your help today when I go sit there with making decisions in the office. God, I admit I am absolutely nothing. And I pray for your filling of your Spirit of God to give me power. God, give me the Spirit I need as I teach these kids. God, give me the Spirit I need as I interact with these business clients. And then see, you said, God, I'm going to trust that you, or your word, has promised to be with me. So I'm going to trust. I'm going to start stepping. I'm going to trust that you're going to be with me. And then, A, God, I'm going to act. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do what you call me to do. And at the end of the day, before you put your head on the pillow, you say, God, thank you. Thank you that you were with me. Even if it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to be, I'm going to thank you because if it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to be, it must be something in your plan that I can't see, so I'm thanking you. You see, in both of those, you're still thanking him for him being in control. God tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We give thanks because it's the will of God. We give thanks and we have to choose to do so. We give thanks in all circumstances. And we give thanks only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has exemplified for us how to do this. You realize that Jesus is not just exemplifying it here. Peter actually gives us a beautiful verse that I want to end with. Turn with me, 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter actually gives us a great verse to show us that Jesus did exemplify these things, that he was not a complainer, he was not a grumbler, but he was one that was filled with thanks and praise. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verse 20. And let's read through verse 23. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in where? His mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Christ was not one who was complaining or murmuring, and he didn't revile. He was one who was always entrusting himself to the one who was going to be just, that is God. But I want you to understand something in this passage of Scripture. Peter says, Christ is our example, that we follow in his steps. Peter says it this way. Paul says it's the will of God in Christ for you. But this verse, it's right here. It's a beautiful verse. It's the way it's pictured. He is our example. Now, how many of you remember when you did handwriting, or those who teach handwriting, they would give you these little block lines. And then to learn a letter, it was like literally dotted lines so you could learn to trace it, to learn the alphabet. A, B, C. How many remember doing that? For those of you who don't, we have kindergarten class. We'll start next week. That little lines that way is called underwriting. That's the verse and the word that Peter uses. Jesus is our underwriting, our example to follow. Meaning, we trace his steps and how he spoke, how he lived. So when Jesus says, repent and believe and follow me, it's not just follow me with Jesus in my pocket. I'm following him with my life. And this, church, is one of those things of giving thanks in all circumstances, is following the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Because it's the way he lived. It's the way he's called us to live. So what do you need to do today? Here's a so what question. You say, okay, Pastor, I've heard it's the will of God, so what? So I just ask yourself a couple questions. Number one, are you being modeled by, as people looking at you, do they know that you are thankful people in all circumstances? Secondly, or are you falling prey to being a complainer rather than just simply giving thanks to people? So if you're being a complainer, according to the Scripture of God, if it's the will of God to be thankful, then what you need to do is confess your sins and repent of being a complainer, a whiner, a negative, pessimistic person. Are you shining like the stars, like Philippians tells us? You understand, complaining and not being thankful, it takes away from us being light for the glory of God. Some of you probably actually do have some very hard things in your life. And it's hard for you to walk through those things, but this is the body of Christ. And no one in here wants you to walk alone. We have each other for a reason. I talked to you a couple weeks ago about participatory membership, positional membership in Christ, participatory, we share life with one another. We are connected together. So if you're walking through a struggle and it's hard for you, and maybe you just need to say to somebody, I'm having a hard time giving thanks for this. Pray with me that I can be able to trust God to be in control of these particular things. Are you actually trusting and depending and walking with the Holy Spirit so he can fill you, so then it can be the result of giving thanks? You realize And we talk about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. But according to Ephesians 5, that if we're being filled with the Spirit, that making melody, singing songs, and giving thanks is a result of being filled with the Spirit of God. So it's actually a fruit of the Spirit as well. Some of us may need to start today and start saying, God, I'm going to choose today to give thanks instead of simply complaining. And some of you are sitting here today listening to all this. And again, this passage was addressed to those who are believers in Christ. And some of you may sit in this room, may realize, as we talked about in the way we began, you say, I don't even have a relationship with Christ. Can God really change me that much? Can God change us? And if you are here and you've not been changed, I invite you to the Jesus who laid his life down for you, that he can change you. And he can fill you with the same Spirit of God that we're talking about. And you can be a new creation according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And he will walk with you. And you need to come just as you are. Don't try to fix yourself up before you come to him, because you'll never come to him. Come to him as you are. All your scars, all your mess, all your sins. And let the Holy Spirit that I've talked about helping us in giving thanks be the one who can change you to begin to change your own life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your truth this morning. We've come out of a thankful season and a week where we've had privilege for many to spend time with friends and family. But your word is challenging us that giving thanks is not something we should do just on that one day that we set aside, or a week that we focus our attention on giving thanks. Lord, you called us to be a people who give thanks in all circumstances. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us as your people, that we will not be known as negative, pessimistic people who are detracting away from the glory of God. Let us, God, be filled with your Spirit so that we may give thanks in all things. So, Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts this morning. And if there are those in this room that it's the natural response to just simply be a complainer instead of being someone who's being thankful, then God, I pray that you would bring the conviction to them that they need so they can begin to repent and change. But God, you tell us that the only way to do this, to be giving thanks in all circumstances, is to be filled with your Spirit. So Lord, I thank you that according to your word, that if we are in you, we do have the Spirit of God. But you teach us that we need to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. So I pray, God, that those in this room who are not calling out to you for the help that they need, then God, I pray that today they will begin to say, fill me, Holy Spirit. And so, God, I pray, be true to your word, that your word is the sword of the Spirit. And so I pray that people who spend time with you, you'll sharpen them, convict us, change us, so that we'll be known as people who praise you. But God, I know there are some in this room who are in a season of life because things are different now. It's not the way it used to be. A loved one that's gone, a medical condition, a medical diagnosis, a change in family life, a change in work, and things are hard. So Lord, I pray according to your word that you would help them be filled with your Spirit so they can be given thanks in all circumstances. But Lord, if there are any in this room who don't have you, who do not have the Holy Spirit that you promised to help us do these very things, and God, I pray today that those in this room and those who are listening, that they would repent and they would turn from their sin, they would call out to you, and that you would save them and you give them the Holy Spirit so their lives can begin to be radically changed by the power of the Spirit of God in them. So now, Lord, as we sing and as we respond to these truths and just simply praise you, it may be in this very moment that some people just need to give thanks and praise through the songs that we sing as an act of faith. And by singing, we're saying, Lord, we trust you, that you are in control of it all. So now, Lord, move in our midst, speak to our hearts, and help us to be obedient to what you have shown us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, there'll be staff to receive you if you need prayer. If you need to make an altar out of your chair, an altar out of the stage, you come and respond as God has spoken to you this morning.